All right, today we're going to talk about Christian Science and their doctrines of prayer. Christian Science and the doctrine of prayer. All right, someone give me sort of an overview. From our textbook, Kingdom of the Cults, we're going to be on page 180, and we're going to start in our Bibles at Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Someone give me some sort of synopsis or overview of Christian Science's view on materialism, or should we say the things that you can sense, touch, feel, hear, what they believe about sin, what they believe about sickness. Let's talk about those three things. Someone give me an idea. All right, Wilson.
Christian scientists believe that if you're sick, it's only in your head.
Okay.
You don't think you're sick.
Okay, you only think you're sick. What else? Let's talk about sin. What do they think about sin? Philip?
Sin.
All right, so the ultimate end of anyone who is growing in their spirituality is that they realize that nothing is real. To include people, to include this physical body, it's not real. And so it makes sense then that your sicknesses are not real. So if sicknesses aren't real, then there's no need for healing. The only healing that needs to take place is in your mind. And your mind can exist without your body, they believe. And it does exist without your body. You just need to come to understand that. And so there's no need for miracles, and so they don't believe Jesus performed miracles because no sicknesses were real. All right, so top of page 180, we find out that Mary Baker Eddy, in her Science and Health, page number 4, says audible prayer can never do the works of spiritual understanding which regenerates. What is regeneration? Let's give me another Bible term. Work through that etymology there, that word building behind regeneration. What does it mean? Rebirth, new beginning, new birth, beginning again. So regeneration. In other words, if you really want a new birth, you just need to come to a better understanding. And you don't need, audible prayer is not necessary. The danger from prayer is that it may lead us to temptation. Okay. So if you're praying for something, you might actually believe that it's real, and that is a problem. The mere habit of pleading with the divine mind, as one pleads with a human being, perpetuates the belief in God as a humanly circumscribed, an error which impedes spiritual growth. I was reading in, I believe it was, Religion in America, by Corrigan and Hudson. I think it was reading that the Christian Scientists actually go out of their way to help this idea of a dual image of God. And so much that they have one designated female reader at the Christian Science rooms and one designated male reader, because they want you to understand that God is neither. He has male and female properties. You know, I mean, I just completely messed that up. I said he. God has male and female properties. God is not a person. God is the divine mind. And so to become one with the divine mind, if you are pleading with the divine mind about something, it's really a moot point. Why are you asking for something that doesn't exist? You don't need healing because sickness doesn't exist. And so they have problems here with the idea of sickness and sin. All right, what is the biggest biblical proof that we have for saying that sickness actually does exist? And we get it from the life of Christ. Give me a good proof that sickness does actually exist. Why didn't Christ say, I'm glad you've come to a full understanding now that your sickness doesn't exist? Why didn't he do that? Okay, Jason?
Well, one of the reasons we know that it wasn't just a mental thing is because when Christ was healing the blind or healing somebody paralyzed, he didn't say, think straight or think better.
Right.
He actually healed them.
Very well said. Good. And so he says, do you want to be made whole? What a great question. Do you want to be healed? Who's going to come back and say, no, I really don't? And so Jesus is trying to get them to admit that they have a need, a sickness. So here we are in Luke 18:1. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, we're talking about men as in mankind. Ladies, make sure you feel included here. Always you should pray if you're part of Adam's family. Not the Adam's family, but Adam's sons. The men ought always to pray and not faint. Mankind should always pray. And then he goes into a story here of a widow who is constantly asking for a judge's help. All right? So Jesus says, always pray. Pray doesn't mean just yak towards heaven. It means to actually ask for something. Many times, and especially in the King James Version, it says, give me, I pray thee. And it'll say, you know, it'll fill in So prayer is asking for something. And so when Jesus says men ought always to pray, he's saying you need to keep asking God for whatever it is you need in your life. And so that's the first reference I want us to see. Look also, please, if you would, at Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So please notice, request being made to God is actually the prayer, and the prayer is to be made with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving itself is not the prayer. Praying is the making your requests known unto God. Prayer does mean make requests known. And so when we're told to pray, we're being told to ask for things. Now, to us, I want you to know that when you're a parent, if you have limited means and resources are limited, you are going to probably be irritated at some point that your kids keep asking for things. And the reason is because our resources are limited. When you have children, you're going to find out that they ask for far more than you're able to give. And so it is an irritant sometimes. And it's not an irritant because you don't want to give. Every parent who loves their child wants to give them things. But our resources are limited, which is why later in this chapter, in verse 19, it says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory." Well, how many riches do you think He has in glory? It's limitless. So ask away. That's the lesson there, is that instead of worrying in chapter 4, verse 6, pray. Ask. Ask for what? Well, whatever it is you're worrying about, ask. It might not be tangible things, but we are commanded to ask. So if we have not, it is because we ask not. That's James chapter 4, verse 3. So if you have found in your life, I am with you, Jason. I do know that we have to be constantly thanking God for everything. You know, you're right. The Bible does say, rejoice evermore in everything, give thanks. But that itself is not prayer. Prayer is asking for things. It says here, instead of worrying, make your requests known to God. So, right off the bat, you need to know that if you're not asking your Father for things, you are not praying. That's crazy, isn't it? Again, have you asked your parents for anything and they take that deep sigh like, what do you think I'm made of, money? Well, that's because they feel stressed that they can't buy the things for you that you want. They don't like the fact they can't buy it. Sometimes it's because they see that in you there is a character flaw where you think that you can just keep on asking and asking and asking and work very little and get things. And sometimes it's because you're not thankful when they do provide. Hey, I'm just being honest here. Even in this room, probably, there are people who take their parents for granted. Probably. And so when my children ask for things, sometimes I have to admit I'm a little short on patience because it's like, what? Don't you understand what it takes for me to get that for you? Whereas with God, He says, I have a limitless supply here. John Rice used to say, not the one who works here, John R. Rice, a preacher of yesteryear, said, I think that one day we're going to get to heaven and see all the things we could have had if we would have asked for them. So that's deep. But he had a simple belief in prayer. So there's the challenge from the Apostle Paul. And then, if you would, please look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and let's look around about the place where we were directed before. And we're going to look probably around verse 16. Of course, every one of these verses has a special context that I wish I could take a half hour each to break it open for you. But not only do I not have the time, you're probably very thankful I don't have the time. And that's okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Rejoice evermore. I'm thinking that's probably the second shortest verse in the Bible. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. So whatever your prayer produces, give thanks for it. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. So quenching not the Spirit relates to the demand, to the command for us to be praying. Who is going to prompt you to pray? The Spirit. And if you do not submit yourself to the promptings of the Holy Spirit to ask God for things with thanksgiving, then you're quenching the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that starts the prayer. Now think about how deep that is. God starts the thing that ends with Him. You want to pray? That's because God put the desire in you to pray. That's great stuff. Do I pray like I should? Sometimes. And wow, I can really tell when I have. And there's just nothing quite like having an appointment time with the Lord. You should make an appointment with them. You should make an appointment with them every morning. You know, if you usually get up at 6, 6:30, some of you men, 7:15. How do I know that? Well, because, you know, our hairstyles are a little different than some of our female counterparts, and we don't have to get up. And you know, some of you only shower once every 2 or 3 days or whatever.
Once
so,
a month.
Huh?
Once a month.
Yeah, once a month. I mean, whether or not you need it, right? And so if you get up at 7:15 normally, say, God, I'm going to get up at 7. Every morning I'm going to get up at 7, and I'm going to spend time with you. And if you're late, you've just missed an appointment. And, you know, you need to take that personally. So, all right, so we've talked about that. I think that's good enough. I've given you three good references to the expectation that is anti-Mary Baker Eddy to pray and ask for things. Now, that's not really deep, but here's the fact. You're going to hear probably, if you stay in church the rest of your life, which I am assuming most of you will, because you know that God says you're supposed to be around other believers, learning and being fed and encouraging. And I'm assuming you're going to hear probably 100 sermons or more on prayer. 100 devotionals or more on prayer, whatever, sermon, devotional, something cute on a napkin, something. But really, many of us are living way below our means. We're living way below our salary, our resources. We need to take that into deep consideration, that much of what we do not have is because of our unwillingness to ask. Ask. And wait. Ask and wait if necessary. Now, let's crack open something here. Are you ready? All right. What are the possible answers to prayer? Oh, I'm going to love this. Go ahead. All right. You. I won't even say your name because I don't want you feeling like I'm just going to throttle you on the recording. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. No? You want me to do it? Okay. Go ahead, Will.
Yes, no, and wait.
Yes, no, and wait. All right. Any other ideas? Yes, no, and wait, says Wilson Lambert, class of 2013. All right, Malika?
According to his will.
According to his will. Is that an answer? So you're going to hear a voice out of heaven saying according to his will? What answers are we looking for here? An answer to our prayer. Chris is pointing at Will. He's on Will's team. Are there any other answers in the room? All right. Let me just say this, all right? What if I were to tell you that the only answer to prayer is yes? Would that be crazy or what? Would you call your pastor and tell him you heard heresy in your Bible class? Here, let me show you a Bible reference in 1 John chapter 5, okay? 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Now, there are several ways you can answer many questions in life. So, I would not be so brave as to say God does not answer a prayer as no or maybe, in a sense, or wait, in a sense, or if it's my will. Okay, we'll go over here and on the other side of the aisle and be diplomatic here. He might say, according to my will. All right, so what are the possibilities here? All right, let's look at 1 John chapter 5, please, and let's look at verse number 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. All right, work through this with me in your minds. What is the requirement for Him to hear you? If you, well, verse 14, someone look at it again.
According to His will.
So if you pray according to His will, He hears you. What happens if He hears you? Verse 15. You have it. You get what you ask for. If you ask according to His will, He hears you. If He hears you, you get it. There's only one answer from John's paradigm to your prayer. If it gets to God, if He hears it, the answer is yes. Now, to be fair, you know how two people can look at something and see it two different ways. There are examples in Scripture where people ask for something and God responded with no. Like the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, I asked the Lord 3 times that He would remove a thorn in the flesh from me, but He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So does God hear all prayers? And the answer is, of course He does, in a sense, because He's omniscient, He's omnipresent. So of course He hears everything. It's not like Well, no, you're not asking. I can tell. I can tell. I've got spidey sense here. I can tell you're not praying according to my will, so I'm not listening. But in a hearing, answering sense, God says, I will hear and answer if you pray according to my will. So in a sense, in a way, if you pray according to his will, he hears you and gives you your request. Now, he hears everything. I want to say that again. In a way, he hears everything. In a way, he answers every prayer. But particularly, he hears those prayers in particular that are prayed according to his will, and he gives you what you ask for. Okay. Question over here.
Yeah, so would that mean if I asked for $1 million in God's will, that I would get it? Like,
if it's according to his will.
I thought you meant so you're not saying that if I ask God for $1 million in his will that I'm automatically going to get it. It has to be in his will.
It has to be in his will for you to get it. So in other words, you are seeking to know the will of God and asking for it. As you know his will, you ask for it, and then you go on in the assurance that you're going to get the answer. You're going to get it. Why? Because you ask for something he wants. Remember Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in the Lord, his desires become your desires and you get it. You know. Okay, so let me show you a reference so you know that I'm not just playing gymnastics here. Let's look at Romans chapter number 8. Look at Romans 8. You've seen this before, but let's kind of connect the dots here. Remember I said every real prayer that God hears starts with who? 1 Thessalonians 5? Yeah, it starts with God. Which particular person of the Godhead? The Spirit. Remember, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, quench not the Spirit. So all prayers that are prayed that wind up at the throne room of God, that he hears and answers according to his will with a yes, 1 John 5:15, they all begin with the Holy Spirit. Let's see it again. Look at Romans chapter number 8, look at verse 15. Romans 8, verse 15. Someone read verse 15. All right, Will.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Someone read verse 16.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
All right, so if you take verse 15 and 16 together, who is the Spirit that cries within you, Abba, Father? Say it louder. The Holy Spirit. So all prayers that are directed to, who is it within you that is crying out to God the Father? It is the Holy Spirit inside of you. You've been adopted, and that Spirit that adopted you into the family of God is prompting you to pray to the Father. All right, so look at chapter 8 again. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, the same one that's in you, that is prompting you to cry out to your Heavenly Father. The Spirit helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so we find ourselves sometimes speechless in our prayers, but because the Holy Spirit knows what we should be praying for, he prompts us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He prompts us with desires that are from God. God says, I want to give you things, and so I'm going to put my desires in your heart, and you're going to pray for them. Wow, okay. So look at verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. All right, okay, hang on. Oh my goodness, what is this saying? Because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. So all real prayers that are prayed, and I say real, help me out here for a minute, just kind of bear with me. All prayers that get to God, that are sent heavenward, that God hears in a non-general, omniscient, omnipresent sort of way where God knows everything. I'm talking about specifically prayers that God hears and answers. They start with the Holy Spirit. And they start with Jesus. It says he knows the mind of the Spirit. All right, now get this now. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Verse 27 says, he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. So someone's reading the mind of the Holy Spirit, who is making intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, verse 26. So really, I'm talking about effective prayers that are prayed on our behalf, are prayed through us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, verse 15, prays through us to the Father according to the will of God. So all prayers that the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray, pray them. Because you can be assured that if the Holy Spirit is prompting you to pray, it is within the will of God, and 1 John 5, you will get it. So $1 million, well, that depends. Why are you praying it? I just feel moved to pray. By who? By God. All right, well, then pray for it. I'm not the one that's going to sit here and say, by the way, you'll never make $1 million. If God is prompting you, and God is moving you, and God is sharing that you can be a blessing to people, then God is pretty clear here that if he's prompting you to do something as outlandish as praying that God would help you be a money maker so you can bless others, fine. But the problem is most people are praying that prayer without God ever putting that thought in their mind. Right? They have a fear of being poor, of being common, of not having tons of cash, and so they pray the prayer. It doesn't get any further than the ceiling. Okay? Hope that clears it up a little bit. Any other questions about that? All prayer, all real prayer. By real prayer, I define that as prayers that get to God and get answered are begun by God in the heart of the believer. It says right there in 8:15, if you're adopted, that Spirit of God that adopted you is crying out to God from within you.